98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
All right, here we go with the top stories of the day. 4 o'clock, we hit the reset button halfway home with the show, and we get you caught up on everything we've been talking about today. A lot of news, a lot of it COVID-related. Some of it is good for the Arizona Cardinals. The bad news, they put defensive tackle Zach Kerr and linebacker Tanner Vallejo on the COVID list, according to the NFL transactions report. But they did announce today they have activated cornerback Breon Borders, linebacker Marcus Golden, offensive lineman DJ Humphreys, and linebacker Devon Kennard from the COVID list. They have also officially signed cornerback Bashaud Breeland to the practice squad as well. They were hoping to do that last week. He also landed on the COVID list. Gambo, this was something you told us about a half hour before the show you were expecting to happen at some point, and it did today.
Yeah, I expected that these guys would be at practice tomorrow. This is what I was hearing. DJ Humphreys, Marcus Golden, Devon Kennard would be back at practice tomorrow, so that is what I expected, and they will be back. So reinforcements coming. Now we'll keep our eye on some of the other things. I'm not feeling great about the cornerback situations with Robert Alford and Marco Wilson right now for the Seattle game, and I'll have more on James Conner tomorrow, but there was no practice today, so I don't have an update on James Conner. And then I'm going to try to find out if there's any chance that Breeland could even play in this game against Seattle, if they need another cornerback, if he could get up to knowing the playbook and being able to help out even in a limited role, because he is on the practice squad now.
More COVID news from ASU. Their men's basketball team announced late Monday it is postponed games this week. They were supposed to be against UCLA and then in Tempe against Arizona. Due to health and safety protocols within the Sun Devils program, ASU was supposed to play the Bruins on Wednesday. They were going to host the Wildcats on Saturday. I would imagine, especially given that one of those games is your in-state rival, they will work very hard to reschedule that game. You don't want to lose that game. But as of right now, we're not exactly sure of the status of those two games.
Yeah, we'll try to find out on that as well. Got some wind yesterday that those two games are going to be postponed. There's at least one COVID issue, at least one player tested positive for Arizona State. The rest of the players were getting tested yesterday. I don't have an update on that, but I know at least one player tested positive, and that's why they had to go ahead and postpone those games.
Washington's NFL team announced today they will unveil their new name on February 2nd. They will not be the Wolves. They will not be the Red Wolves. Some of the other finalists were the Commanders, the Defenders, the Presidents, the Brigade, the Armada. The team president, Jason Wright, said the decision was made not to go with Wolves or Red Wolves.
So what's the options for names?
Okay, according to the story the Commanders.
Commanders?
The Defenders. The Red Hogs. The Armada. The Presidents.
Ugh.
Or the Brigade.
I think I like the Brigade.
The Washington Brigade.
That or Commanders.
I think I like Commanders.
Hate Presidents.
You don't like that?
I hate the Washington Presidents.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, it's dumb.
The Senators would have been kind of cool, like the baseball
brigade,
team.
Brigade, right? That's Army related. The Brigade.
Or the Armada. I mean, the Washington Armada. You know,
brigade,
that's like a naval
formation. Yeah, I like the Brigade. The Washington Brigade.
The helmets and uniforms will still have the same colors, but the chances of this staying a secret until February 2nd are nil. It is going to get leaked at some point between now and then, but it hasn't happened yet. Turning to the NBA, a first for the Utah Jazz this season. Joe Ingles has entered the COVID protocols. Until today, the Jazz had been the only NBA team without a player in the league's health and safety protocols. So, welcome to the party, pal. Yeah, come on in, Utah. Well, we saved you a seat. Come on in.
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, that's where COVID in sports started in Utah, for goodness sakes.
That's right.
I mean, it's the birthplace of COVID in sports.
It is.
We've come full circle.
It all went to hell that night. Was that game in Utah?
I think so.
The one that they canceled, they shut down the league because of Rudy Gobert?
I thought it was.
Yeah.
I'll never forget where I was when you called me. Utah. You said the NBA just canceled the season. I was at the grocery store trying to buy like toilet paper or something, or meat or just something, just because everything was out. I remember going, I stopped on my way home from the store, and you're like, hey, you got to go on with Luke. We're about, like, they just can't. I remember you called me, like, they just canceled the NBA season.
Yeah.
I had not heard it. You told me.
We all did a segment with Luke Lipinski because it was basically, was the night everything went crazy. President Trump announced the travel ban to Europe. Tom Hanks had it. The NBA shut down. I don't think anybody will ever forget that night.
Never forget where I was when you called me.
March 11th, 2020.
Just got some paper towels. I'm good. Can't find any chicken.
But our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show is, once again, COVID-related. Sorry, but it's kind of dictating the news cycle and driving what it is that we're talking about. Today, the Phoenix Suns still missing a bunch of guys, but they got one very important guy back, and that is their head coach, Monty Williams. He tested his way out of the protocols. He will coach the team tonight as they take on the New Orleans Pelicans at 6 o'clock. The other guys, I'll let you update our listeners on, Gambo, but Monty Williams is back for the Suns.
Well, I checked on this earlier today to see if there was any chance, and I was on December 31st, I had actually tweeted out on my Twitter page, Gambo987, that the Suns weren't expecting to get any of these players back until the 6th of January against the Clippers. And that's, you know, JaVale McGee, Jay Crowder, Abdel Nader, DeAndre Ayton. Those guys were all out. And part of it was, now the NBA at that point, a couple days later, they did change the rules for coming back. But I know the Suns didn't want to rush anybody back. They wanted to give them a chance to ramp back up. This morning I checked to see if any of those guys were back, and I was told no, just Monty. So Monty's the only one back that I know of. Now, they did cut Chandler Hutchinson, so there could be a corresponding move coming. Maybe it's to re-sign Bismack Biyombo to the end of the season because he played so well in that first game. I'm not sure. I'm trying to find out. But this morning what I was told was to not expect JaVale, Jay, Abdul, or DA back today, but to expect those guys back for the Clipper game on the 6th.
Yeah, it was interesting that Hutchinson, you know, played 23 total minutes for the Suns over the 6 games that he was here. Never really could find much footing. He spent some time in the G League with the Warriors affiliate in Santa Cruz, but he never really found any footing for him to get a spot. I saw the news and wondered almost immediately if that meant a guy was coming back. But that game is, what, less than 2 hours away from now, and we haven't heard anything in terms of that. From the perspective of getting Monty back, you know, credit to Kevin Young. They went 2-2 without him. Some of those were some very uneven games. You had the game-winning layup from Ja Morant against Memphis. You had that just classic dud against Boston, but you also had that real energetic win against Charlotte and another win at home against the Thunder. He got his first two NBA wins. I imagine there's going to be a nice emotional lift for the Suns seeing their leader over there on that sideline tonight against New Orleans.
Yeah, there's just no question. I mean, they did a really good job against the Hornets, had a terrific game, and now you play in a New Orleans team that's not very good. And, you know, for them right now, it's about trying to mesh all these new guys in because there might be times when you need them. And, you know, not only them, you know, Jalen Smith, how well he's played. He's been the story of these last few games with how well he played against Boston and Charlotte. And then an impressive debut for Bismack Biyombo. He was really good in 18 minutes with 11 points and 6 rebounds against Charlotte. But you've got all these other players, you know, MJ Walker and Paris Bass. They did cut Emmanuel Terry. But you look at all these players that have just come in that they've had to add to the roster. You're just trying to incorporate these guys until you get your guys back.
Yeah, so you're, again, to repeat, your I don't want to say anticipation, but your operating belief right now, is it based off of what you were told on the 31st that the Suns could be getting a lot of reinforcements back in time for the Clippers game on Thursday?
Clippers game on the 6th. I would not be surprised if these guys are back for the game on the 6th.
Okay.
But I would, you know, but that, and that, listen, I was told, you know, on the 30th or 31st that they weren't expecting, because there were 3 games left, and I was just trying to see if any of those guys would be back for any of those 3 games, and I was told not to expect them back until the Clipper game on the 6th. So we'll see. There's only 1 game left before that Clipper game, and that's tonight. We're 2 hours away from the game. We haven't heard of anybody coming back yet outside of Monty.
Yeah.
And I don't expect that any of those guys will play today.
14 teams in the NFL fight for the ultimate title. The Cardinals are going to be one of those teams this year. But based off of their recent play, optimism is not very high that they're going to make so much noise in the postseason. But it's shockingly low. You'll hear how low next on the Burns and Gambo show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
Back here with you on the Burns and Gambo show on this Tuesday afternoon. If you look at the NFL playoff situation with 1 week to go in the NFL, there are lots of teams that have either X's or Z's next to their name in the standings, indicating that they have indeed clinched a playoff spot, and the Arizona Cardinals are one of those playoff teams that have clinched the playoff spot. We've known about it for a couple weeks now, a week and a half, that they are going to the postseason. They clinched it a week ago. There's a team that doesn't have an X next to their name yet, and that's the San Francisco 49ers at 9-7. Still have a little bit of work to do. They could get in. They might not. We're not exactly sure whether they will or not. But
if we're rooting for them.
We're
pulling for the 49ers.
You better believe we are.
Let's go.
You better believe we are. But if there's one thing about these X's and these Z's, Gambo, that bothers me a little bit, there was a story this morning on the Athletic website in which they were ranking every single team's ability to win the Super Bowl. And of these teams that have X's or Z's next to their name, they only gave the Arizona Cardinals the 11th best chance to win the Super Bowl, and they actually had the San Francisco 49ers ahead of them. They had the 49ers as a better chance of winning the Super Bowl, a team that hasn't even clinched the playoff spot yet, than the Cardinals. I take great issue with that.
This is a difficult year, because usually in most years, we could say, and I've lost a bet doing this too. I mean, 1 year I took Kansas City in the field, and I lost the bet to somebody. I think it was Lorenzo Alexander. Had to donate to his charity. But usually you could say, look, if I give you two or three teams, you'd be pretty confident that, okay, I'll pick the winner there. I'll take Green Bay, I'll take Tampa, and I'll take Kansas City. And it'll be one of those teams. But I think this year in the AFC, I think the AFC is just crazy. I think the Bengals are really good with Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I think the Titans getting Derrick Henry back could be extremely dangerous. You know, the Patriots and Belichick have proven that they are very capable of beating anybody in this league and give Belichick a chance to prepare for a team. And the Chiefs, who have played, you know, so well, you know, up until this loss this past week. I think the AFC is just crazy wide open, where I think the NFC, I mean, Green Bay and the Bucks, right? I mean, it seems like it's Green Bay and the Bucks.
It does.
But in the AFC, man, there's five teams, I think, that could win that damn thing.
Yeah, there's no way I would take Kansas City or the field, Tennessee or the field, anybody or the field in the AFC. I would never take that bet with anybody. The NFC, I could be tempted into taking a Green Bay or the field kind of bet. I mean, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to play in a football game that matters until January 22nd or January 23rd. He gets all that time to rest his toe, be as healthy as he possibly can, not play, get off his feet, rest up, all that stuff. And I think between that and the home field advantage they've got, I could be convinced into taking a Green Bay or the field bet in the NFC. No way in the AFC. But this ranking on the Athletic, And here it is. It's a weekly column they do. They call it the Week 17 Reality Check. Ranking Super Bowl contenders. They've got Green Bay 1, Kansas City 2, Tampa Bay 3, the Bills 4, Dallas 5, the Titans 6, the Rams 7, the Bengals 8, the Patriots 9, the 49ers 10, and the Arizona Cardinals number 11. I get that you're going to take some head-to-head results and throw them out. The Titans, that was week one of the NFL season. A lot's changed since then. I get all that. The 49ers ahead of the Cardinals? I just think that is, I don't usually play like the respect or disrespect card. I think that is blatantly disrespectful to have the 49ers ahead of the Cardinals. I think
they may not even make the playoffs.
I think it's insulting to have the 49ers ahead of the Cardinals when they might not even make the playoffs, and the Cardinals have beaten them twice.
Look, the Cardinals just beat the Cowboys in Dallas.
Yes.
And the Cowboys are ahead of them.
Yeah.
They beat the 49ers twice, and the 49ers are ahead of them. They lost to the Colts, but the Colts are behind them. Like, go figure, like, how you know, how you would do this. I would say, God, I'm telling you, that AFC, I just don't know. I would say Green Bay and Tampa, one of those teams are going to come out of the NFC, And I think there's four or five teams in the AFC. I don't want to rule out Cincinnati in the AFC.
No.
And they just beat Kansas City, and Burrow was unbelievable.
I'll tell you this right now.
That game.
I'll tell you this right now. I'll give you Green Bay. I'll give you Tampa Bay because if it's not, if you were to tell me it's not going to be one of those two teams that comes out of the NFC, I would tell you I think the Cardinals have just as good a chance as anybody else in the NFC. Just as good a chance as the Rams. Just as good a chance as Dallas. I think Stafford's inconsistency is really popping up at the wrong time for the Rams. He is not playing very well at all. Dallas hasn't beaten a decent team in a month and a half. And so to think that they're going to get to the playoffs and all of a sudden start running roughshod through the NFC, I think is a little foolish. And the 49ers, don't come at me with the 49ers. I do think that's disrespectful. If it's not the Packers and if it's not the Bucs, I think the Cardinals have just as good a chance as anybody else in the NFC. I really believe that. But
it's interesting because, you know, one of the things that they, you know, that they've said about the Cardinals is that they just, you know, they're not a team that they think on any given day the Cardinals could beat anybody.
Yep.
But they just don't think they could string the three wins together necessary to get to the Super Bowl. And that's not a bad take.
No.
It says in a single game matchup, the Cardinals with Murray are dangerous. I agree. But the likelihood of them being consistent enough to win three in a row seems low. That's not a terrible take.
That's not a fair take.
That's fair.
It's a very fair take, but I think you could also say that same thing about the Dallas Cowboys. You could certainly say the same thing about the San Francisco 49ers. Maybe you could say the Rams could be, there's a higher likelihood of them being consistent enough to win three in a row, but then you get back to the Stafford thing and how he hasn't played very well, and he hasn't played very well against good competition lately. I think that likelihood of them being consistent argument applies to the Cardinals. I agree, that's not a bad take, but I think it applies to a few teams in the NFC and not just the Arizona Cardinals. The other take that they make that we talked about earlier as part of this article is they write this, quote, "The problem is that when Murray is not carrying the Cardinals, they don't really have a plan B."
I disagree.
And you disagree totally with disagree. That. Tell me why you disagree.
Because they played three games without Kyler Murray and they won two of them. And one of them was against San Francisco, who they have rated ahead of the Cardinals. So if you look at the way they played those games, they had no Kyler and they beat Seattle 23-13 on the road. They had no Kyler and they beat San Francisco 31-17. They had no Kyler in that game. So I think that they've, you know, to me, I think that they can win a game, you know, with Kyler not playing very well. So I mean, I think that, you know, to win the Super Bowl, obviously to win three games, you're going to have to rely on Kyler. But I think if a team is able to stop Kyler from running, I still think that with James Conner and Chase Edmonds and the weapons that they have, I think the Cardinals can win a game without having Kyler go off and, you know, have a great game.
Yeah, they've won games like that in the past where he wasn't special and they were able to, you know, he wasn't special the first time they played against San Francisco.
But the Bears game, they didn't even throw the ball against the Bears.
They barely
threw the ball against the Bears. They scored 33 points.
Yeah, I mean, he had four touchdowns, if I remember right, but he didn't have a statistically dominant game other than his ability to get in the end zone, and he was just take advantage of short fields for most of that game. So it's selling them a little bit short. I get it. They've lost three games. They had lost three games in a row. The damage from that, you talked about it yesterday, the damage from that was really hurtful, and it cost them a lot in terms of not only their place in the standings, but their perception around the league. But I think depending on how they finish this season, they have a chance to be a dangerous, tough out in the playoffs, and they need probably a little more respect than what they're being given against the San Francisco 49ers, that's for sure. When we come back, Chandler Jones, in the middle of a contract year, has had plenty of flashes this season. When he thinks about his 2021 year, what does he think about? That's coming up, Burns and Gambo. We're live from the Oxygen Community Studios here on this Tuesday afternoon, and it's 4:30, so it's time to get an update on what was a much closer than I thought it was going to be Twitter poll question of the day. Let's see if it's still that way as we get this update with Mitch.
Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll Update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Chris Gambo had an update on a lot of the COVID Cardinal guys and how they're coming back. We had that about a half hour before the show on Twitter with DJ Humphreys and Devon Kennard and Marcus Golden. But we're still kind of waiting for news about the running backs and the skilled position players. Not on the COVID list, but there's some injuries there that they're dealing with.
And just banged up a bit.
Yeah, to say the least. So what's the question that we're asking the folks today, Mitch?
So with that in mind, think about James Conner. Think about Chase Edmonds. Think about Rondale Moore. Maybe not in the best of health in terms of ability to play 100%. And you know you got the playoffs coming up. So we're asking today, how do you want the Cardinals to handle their banged up players against the Seahawks? Go all out or play it safe?
Well, Saf.
Play it Saf.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Play it Saf.
The initial Twitter poll question took off the E. So we're
I spelled correctly the second poll that I threw up today, though.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I understand. To me, it's you got to play it safe with somebody. If you feel like, hey, they could use an extra week, get closer to 100%, I'd rather play it safe. I understand the importance of the game. I don't want to downplay that. If you win, there is a chance that you will get a home field game, and that's the priority. As good as they are on the road, nobody on that team wants to go on the road and play a football game. They want to play a home game in front of their crowd, not go on the road. So I understand the importance of the game, but I'd rather keep guys safe.
I am a ditto when it comes to John Gambadoro's answer. Exactly what he said, I would play it Saf. What does our audience say?
All right, well, thanks to the Gambo retweet, we got in about an extra 800 or so votes, so things have separated a bit.
Bang!
52.8% say play it Saf, safe. 47.2% say go all out.
Still closer than I thought it would be.
It's still close, but it's separated a little bit,
yeah. I mean, it's still basically a 50-50 question. I really thought play it safe would be the leader in the clubhouse when it comes to this one. I'm kind of surprised that as many people are saying you got to. And I understand, like you said, it's an important game, and what you can achieve is important. I don't want to minimize it. But it is not as important as going into your playoff game with as healthy as a possible James Conner and Chase Edmonds that you can get. That has got to be the priority. And I think for Cliff Kingsbury, that will be the priority when he tries to figure out how to attack the Seahawks on Sunday.
Has to be. You got to make sure that you you go into that playoff game with a healthy Chase Edmonds and James Conner. That gives you the best chance to win.
Chandler Jones met with the media today, and Chandler Jones, there were a lot of things.
He unfollowed Kyler Murray, huh?
He did.
What's going on there?
Hold on a second. Let me play that one here for you. He doesn't follow Kyler Murray on Twitter.
Yeah, it's actually funny that you brought up Kyler and social media, because I think yesterday I just unfollowed him on Twitter. I had asked him to follow me back like a while ago, and he didn't follow me back, so I just unfollowed him yesterday. But yeah, Kyler's great. He's a hell of a player. I love him. I love him. I love him to death. And it's good to watch him grow, to see him orchestrate the offense. His voice is getting louder and louder in the locker room. You can see that he's grabbing a lot of guys' attention, and that comes with time. And also comes with positive and great play. So he's been doing that, and he's been earning the respect from the guys. So he's like a little brother to me. I always pick at him, but I did unfollow him, and I'm not following him back.
Yeah, if Twitter. I'm Chandler, look, if I'm Chandler, I just stay off of social media, man. If I'm Chandler, I'd stay off of social media. I mean, besides checking out how hot my wife is, Chandler.
Oh, boy. You know. I tell you what, there was not much I was grateful for around the holiday season. It wasn't the best Christmas. I was really glad not to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I saw all that come down on Twitter, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm really glad I don't have to deal with that on the air today. Yeah. I'm really, really glad.
That's why my wife is off of Twitter, because of guys like Chandler Jones. So, you know, those creeps. That's why she doesn't do social media.
I wonder if he's unfollowed you. He's unfollowed Kyler.
I wouldn't pay Chandler Jones like anything next year to come back. And I wouldn't. I wouldn't pay Chandler Jones to come back.
Well, it's funny that you said that, because that's actually where we're going with this. He was asked about it. He was asked about the season that he's had so far this year. Year and what he thinks about the season he's had.
I'm not satisfied. Never satisfied. I also feel like I can definitely play better. And when you talk about statistics, I know I had an interview previously when I spoke about, you know, the stats never lie. But if you turn on the film and you watch the games, you definitely know that the stats don't really matter. It depends on, you know, the plays that are being made or the effect that you cause in a game. And that's for any player, offense, defense, or special teams. It's better when you actually watch the game than looking at the stat sheet at the end of the game.
I know you've got a lot of thoughts about Chandler Jones, and I know you've been very adamant about how you would not want to bring him, back next year.
It's not worth it.
I do think he's had a very, in my humble opinion, he's had a very uneven season, and I do watch the games. I don't look at the stats. In fact, I don't even have Chandler Jones' stats in front of me. I think he's had a very uneven season. I do think that game against Dallas, he impacted it. I think he impacted it greatly. I saw him a lot. I saw him making plays a lot. I saw him tackling guys in the backfield. He might not have had a sack, but we've always talked about it. It's not always about sacks as the only way to judge a player's success at that position. And I did see him as a guy that Dallas had to very much account for. But my guess, and this is just my guess, that the money he's going to want is not going to match up with what the Cardinals are going to be willing to give him. That's just my guess. I don't know that for a fact, but I suspect that's how this is going to end.
Look, and I think that number came way down too, right? That number of what he wanted to get and what he's going to get. I mean, his most impactful game was week one when he had 5 sacks, and he just hasn't been, you know, the same since. He's been very uneven. He did have a good game against the Cowboys. But overall, I mean, I would rather spend my money on Hassan Reddick and bring Hassan Reddick back. I mean, I'm going to spend my money elsewhere to make sure I keep the players I want to keep. You know, if you want to keep James Conner and you want to keep, maybe you want to keep A.J. Green. There's other guys that you want to keep. I'm not going to pay Chandler a whole lot of money because I don't think the production has been there. Overall, you know, I think Chandler Jones has been okay. He's been okay. He's had a decent year. But not worthy of at his, and you got to factor the age in too, right?
Yes.
I mean, you have to factor the age in with Chandler. Just not a guy that, you know, not a guy that I want to pay. I'm just no desire to pay him any decent amount of money to come back.
So as a follow-up question to the season he's had, he was asked the question about, is he looking ahead to the offseason and what might be his future either with the Cardinals or with somebody else?
I assume if you're not looking ahead to game-wise, then you're also not really looking ahead on a personal level with what's going to happen after this season with you, free agency-wise?
Yeah, no. Yeah, you knew it. You knew the answer.
And that question was based off of his answer when he was asked about the playoffs. The fact that this is the first time ever in his time with the Cardinals that he's going to go to the playoffs. He's never gone to the playoffs as a member of the Cardinals.
How did I know that this interview would start with the P word? I'm going to try to go through this interview without using the P word. We're talking about the Seahawks. No playoff combo.
He's obviously concerned about his future. I mean, he was quick to comment when I mentioned that I wouldn't pay him. When he hurries up after the games and tries to see what people are saying about him on social media. That's what he does. And he wasn't, you know, when I said I wouldn't pay him, he was quick to comment on that. So I do think he's concerned about it and he cares about anything. He should. I mean, it's his future. He should care about it. He should, you know, want to come back and want the Cardinals to pay him and want there to be a market for him of several teams that want to pay him. And somebody will. I mean, he's still a good football player.
Sure.
But I'm not paying him top end money, you know, to come back here. I'm just, you know, just like same thing with Patrick Peterson. Like, you know, you know, if you could have got him on the cheap, maybe, but, you know, paying him, you know, top money at that position, not gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you mentioned, his age is very much a complicating factor in all this, and I think just the sheer volume of guys, and you referenced this a second ago, the sheer volume of guys that you'd like to have back if you're the Cardinals. I mean, it's a big, long list of players that, you know, in a perfect world, Christian Kirk is back, and A.J. Green is back, and James Conner is back, and Chase Edmonds is back, and there are guys that you would like to bring. Now, if he doesn't come back, if they let him walk, if he goes somewhere else, make no mistake, the Cardinals will have to fill that hole. I mean, they're gonna have to go get pass rush help somehow, somewhere. They are not built on this roster right now to be able to just let him walk and think they're going to replace that internally. They just don't have that guy. They're going to have to pay somebody that money. Between the other guys that they want to bring back and Chandler Jones's age, I have a feeling that he's going to want X amount of dollars, and the Cardinals' appetite for paying it to him just isn't going to be there. Just a guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, and I think initially he wanted that T.J. Watt type of money. He's not going to get it. Not going to get anywhere near it. And he might not have to get a one. Somebody might give him a 2-year deal. Look, he's still a Pro Bowl player. He still, that those five sacks early in the season really helped him, you know. But overall, I mean, how many sacks does he have on the season right now? And he could say it's not about the stats and it's not about the sacks, but, you know, it is an important stat, and a lot of guys get paid for it. So he's had 4.5 sacks since week one. He's got 9.5.
Yep.
So if he doesn't get a sack in this game, he's not even going to finish with 10. Last year, he didn't play, but the year before that, he had 19.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think those days are gone, right? Those days of 17, 19 sacks, I think they're far gone.
Yep. And like you say, there are other ways to impact the game, and he has at times done that this year. But
not enough.
No, I just don't know if it's consistent enough. It's the last week of the NFL season. Means you have one last chance to sign up for Bix Picks. Text the word pick to 620-620. Sign up, compete against Dan Bickley for your chance at the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill, courtesy of Modelo Especial, and a $500 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. Again, text the word pick to 620-620 to enter. Russell Wilson, who has tortured the Arizona Cardinals for the last few years, is this it? Is this his last moment as a member of the Seahawks? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
Look at teams convince themselves that, like, Sam Darnold still has it, or like Carson Wentz. Like, these guys are bad. I mean, teams just gambled on them to be good. It's hard to find even a good quarterback, competent one. Kirk Cousins got a guaranteed contract, fully guaranteed. And he not even that good, right? You pay mediocrity more often than you like land a superstar quarterback. So if I was them, no, I wouldn't really consider it. If I was in the organization, I'd be like, I'd get Pete and John up out of here before I got Russ up out of here. And the other part of that is that people forget Pete controls the draft too, and like free agency, like he controls personnel.
That was November 18th. That's Michael Sean Dugar. He covers the Seahawks for the Athletic website. We had him on to preview the Seahawks game then. I've just been told we're going to have him on to preview the Seahawks again this week. He was asked the question by us directly, hey, Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson, what would you do? And he was very blunt, very honest. That's why we want to have him back on again and saying, I'd franchise quarterbacks are hard to find. I'd keep Russ and I'd get rid of Pete. I'd find Russ and I'd get rid of John Schneider.
It's hard to argue that.
It is, isn't it?
It's hard to argue. I mean, how many times do I say in my lifetime the Lions have never had a good quarterback? The Bears have never had a franchise quarterback in my lifetime. The Lions have never had a franchise quarterback. Miami, from the time Dan Marino left, have not had a franchise quarterback. The Browns thought they may have had one with Baker Mayfield, but I don't think that they do, so I might go back to the last time the Browns had a good quarterback was like Bernie Kosar. So they thought they had one with Baker, but really, you know.
Yeah.
So, like, you could go 20, 30, 40 years of finding these organizations that didn't have. How about the Bills? You know, after Jim Kelly, they got one now and Josh Allen. But how many quarterbacks between Jim Kelly and Josh Allen?
Tons. Tons. Yeah.
Tons.
It's well, I mean, the Cardinals, you know, they, if we're talking about franchise quarterback, yeah, they got Kyler and they had Kurt. I wish Kurt was here a little bit longer. It would have been nice if we could have enjoyed that a little bit longer, but they're an organization that really hasn't hit the mother load.
He had to start working on that hit movie.
Have you seen it yet, by the way?
I'm my family got COVID, so, but I really want to see it, and I will see it.
Yeah.
But, you know, with Chelsea and Brooke coming down with it and me staying away from them, I haven't been able to, because I want to see it in the theaters.
I do too. I haven't had a chance yet.
I really do want to see it, though.
I really do want to see it too.
And I want to support Kurt.
Absolutely. Because he's been so good to us, and it's such a good story.
He's the best.
I really want to see it. Russell,
Kurt is just the best.
Russell Wilson might be entering his final game as a member of the Seattle Seahawks against the Cardinals.
I mean,
this Sunday.
Hope so.
I do too. He's been
you go up, hey, next year's quarterback is not going to be Russell Wilson. Behind door number one, the Cardinals are going to play Russell Wilson twice next year. Behind door number two, they're going to play somebody, but you don't know who it is.
Give me door number two. Every
time.
Door
number two.
Yep.
I don't care who it is. It's not Russell Wilson, so I'll take door number two.
Yep. After the game, the Seahawks played against the Lions this past Sunday, which was the last home game for Seattle this year. He was asked point blank, do you want to be a Seahawk in 2002?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I hope so. You know, I hope that's the case. You know, and, you know, it takes one day at a time. And today is really about our team today. And that's what I'm going to focus on today. But it was special today, you know. And but, yeah, you know, that's my hope.
Well, he's under contract for two more years.
He didn't walk around it either.
That's my hope. He controls it. If you want to, you can control that. You've got 2 years left on your deal. You've got a no trade clause. If you don't want to go anywhere, you don't have to go anywhere. It's up to you. And if you want out, and you let it be known you want out, he's got the power in this situation to dictate whether he's there or not. So, yeah, he didn't dance around it, but in a way he could have answered it more directly, right? He could have said, yeah, I've got the ability to say I don't want to be here. I want to be here. I don't want to go anywhere. Instead, I hope so. You know, we'll see. I'm not really sure.
But
you know?
There's been, right, we can make a list, right? Super Bowl winning quarterbacks that spend a lot of time with one organization and left to go somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got Joe Montana, who did it.
Tom Brady.
You've got Brett Favre, who did it. You've got Kurt Warner, who did it. Did you mention somebody?
Tom Brady.
Got Tom Brady.
Yep.
Tom Brady, who did it. So that's just Montana left, didn't win a Super Bowl. Favre left, didn't win a Super Bowl. Kurt kind of got pushed out with the Rams, but didn't win a Super Bowl after he left. Brady left and won a Super Bowl, but he's on like a whole. I mean, am I missing anybody?
Who left and won? And
you're great, you know, really, you know, Hall of Fame level quarterbacks that left and went somewhere else.
Brees stayed put. Roethlisberger stayed
Joe
put.
Joe Namath left, but he didn't win anything after he left the Jets.
Eli stayed put.
Bradshaw, Staubach.
Yeah, they all stayed. Yeah, that's I'm not. No one else. I'm sure we're forgetting somebody, but nobody else is really coming to mind. Nobody else really pops.
The four that just hit
Troy
right
Aikman.
There.
Troy Aikman stayed. Steve Young stayed. Peyton Manning left. Peyton Manning left.
There you go. Peyton Manning left.
Yep. He left.
Peyton Manning. Now, I'm not counting the, you know, you know, the Nick Foles of the world.
Yeah, no. We're talking about elite quarterbacks.
Joe Flacco's.
Yeah, we're talking about elite quarterbacks.
Elway never left.
Nope. The point is, it has happened. And here's the other thing.
You might have two this year if Rodgers leaves. You could have two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks leaving and the point is, I can only think of like, you know, two guys now, and Peyton Manning and then Brady that left as great quarterbacks who had won Super Bowl somewhere else and then won it again.
If he leaves, the Athletic did a story about this, and not from Michael Sean Dugar, but they did a story about this, kind of wondering out loud where he could go. And I think it was Mike Sando who wrote it. He wrote, purely from a football standpoint, executives from other teams thought Cleveland, New Orleans, and Denver could be ideal fits. They have strong personnel along their offensive line. They have elite offensive line coaching. They also have the personnel needed to run the ball effectively, which might be something Russell Wilson could lean on a little bit. I look at that list, and the Saints just kind of pop off the page to me. I just think if there's any coach, offensive coach, who could probably squeeze the most out of Russell Wilson, it's probably Sean Payton, and that would probably be a really good fit for him, I would think. But then, as part of that story, man, they compared Russell Wilson's last 25 starts to the 25 starts before that. I don't know how much of this is based off of the team around him, but there's some serious decline with some of these numbers for Russell Wilson.
But in other parts of the number, it wasn't a decline.
Let me see. There was, okay, win-loss record decline.
Sacks have gone down. He's taking less sacks.
There were some other analytical numbers that hadn't gone down, but his quarterback rating's gone down. His TD to interception's gone down. Yards per attempt, yards, completion
passer
percentage.
Passer rating's gone down big time.
Yeah, his passer rating.
I guess so. I guess that yards have gone down. Completion percentage is down a tick, but it's down.
Yeah.
The wins and losses are what's down the big. I mean, 18-7 compared to 12-13 with the wins and losses.
And it's hard to know how much of that is his responsibility. That team around him has been, I mean, they always win a bunch of games up there. That's been part of the annoying thing about the Seahawks. still think he's a very good quarterback. If you were going to tell me right now, okay, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, pick one who's not going to be on their team next year. Every day that ends in Y, I'm going with Russell Wilson. Every day that I think if that's the choice, it's one of those two who won't be back with their current team next year. I think Rodgers is back and Wilson goes somewhere else.
All right, I got another question for you.
Okay.
This is an interesting one. You could have one of these two quarterbacks for the next 5 years, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. Which guy are you taking?
Still taking Aaron Rodgers.
He's 38.
I know. Still taking
Aaron
Rodgers.
Russell Wilson's 33.
Yep.
Russell Wilson in 5 years will be the same age that Aaron Rodgers is right now. You could have one quarterback for 5 years. In 5 years, Russell Wilson will be the same age that Aaron Rodgers is today.
I get all that.
You want Wilson from 33 to 38 or Rodgers from 38 to 43?
Rodgers from 38 to 43.
How fascinating is that?
I do. I think
about that for a second.
I know. I'm picking the old guy, and I probably shouldn't be.
You're taking an old guy that you want at age 40, 41, 42, and 43.
Yep. I would.
Over Russell Wilson, who's 33 years old.
I assume you wouldn't. I assume you disagree.
No, I actually don't disagree. That's why I was hoping you were going to say Russell Wilson. I don't disagree. I think I would take my chances on Aaron Rodgers over the next 5 years. And I love Russ. You know I love Russ.
I know you do.
But if you could have one guy for the next 5 years, you would think most people would say, I'll take Russ.
Yeah,
he's 33. Rodgers is 38 eventually. But Rodgers is showing no sign of decline. None.
The Arizona Cardinals went through a revolving door of roster updates today, mostly positive. We'll get you caught up on everything you need to know about the Cardinals and tell you why the Cardinals might have won the wide receiver sweepstakes this offseason next on the Burns and Gambo Show.